this morning and to worship with you and to have your sweet and sacred music ministry. I enjoyed it very much. And I want to thank you, Pastor Matthew, and the family, and all of you for giving me an opportunity to come and minister to you this morning. And we are very happy that you have been supporting us with regular donations to keep the work going. We are very grateful for that, and we thank you for your love and generosity in the past. And my heart is very, very happy to be here to worship with you this morning. For a short, I will go into my testimony, what happened in my life, and how I happened to be here. I just want to read a verse from the Bible for our short meditation. Mm-hmm. Would you turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, verse 2. Isaiah means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. He's asking the people, the God's people, the verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings.
Yeah.
Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your sticks. See, we have a calling from God. We are not supposed to stay idle. The God has called us for a purpose. And He is asking us to lengthen your cords. So we have to reach out. I'm glad Chapel Hill for this church, mm-hmm. which is an offshoot of River Life in Mooresville. You are reaching out. Enlarging your tent. So God is calling us to lengthen our cords, our relationship with God. It has to be strong and stable. Isaiah, he was called to the ministry very young in age. We are told that he had a job, I mean, that's what we are told. He had a very comfortable job in the king's palace. The name of the king is called King Uzziah. He was a good king. But all of a sudden, this King Uzziah died. And he was desperate. We don't know what all reasons he had, but he was desperate. So he walked to the God's house and started to search his heart. And he had an encounter with the living, powerful God at that time. When he searched his heart, when we start with something, when God is calling us for something, we need to have a clean slate to begin with. Mm. A clean slate to begin with. So what he did was that he sought his heart. He searched his heart. And he found out that he's a sinful man. He was saying, that is the best place to go to the house of God and to inquire with the Lord. He searched his heart. And then he found out that he is sinful. Lot of iniquities in his life. So he had a confession and he had a fire from above. An angel touched his lips with a coal of fire. So he had a cleansing there. So he had a good start. When we start with God, when God calls us for a purpose, start with a clean, holy heart. good, sound, clean relationship with God and man. Then, you know, he had this cleansing and his life was became pure. So he had a good start. Then he had the God's calling. The God said, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? I said, when he had his heart all clean and he had the power of the Holy Spirit, he had a call from the Lord. He had, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, I will go. I will go. So, because Isaiah is a role model for us, you know, to follow the Lord. It's a role model. Because of that good starting, he preached the power of the word of God for 50 years. More than 50 years. So, we have much to learn from the life of Isaiah. That how we need to start and how we need to go for it. We need to go when God calls us for a job. I'm glad that this brother for whom you prayed for this morning is taking up that call.
Amen.
Yeah.
Whom shall I send?
Yeah.
Who will go for me? There was a time in my life like that, you know. When I was a teenager, I thought that there's something out in this world will give me happiness and joy. So I looked for that joy. My friends were not good friends, good people. That was a bad company. I spent many nights in movie theaters. And I come home after seeing those, some of the bad movies, you know. It's not good to watch. I come home and try to sleep. I wouldn't sleep. I roll this way and that way. What I saw on that screen will come to my mind, you know. I will not sleep. But something happened one day. A man from Australia, a far country, came to my village. There, I heard him speaking about Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ came into this world to die for the sins of man and that he can give peace. That word peace struck my heart, you know. I didn't have that peace. I didn't know what I was living for. I had no real purpose for living. I was not doing very good in school at that time, you know. So this word, Jesus Christ can give peace, that struck my heart. The man, the missionary said, whoever wants to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, come forward. I will pray for you. A few people went forward and I also went forward. And he prayed for me. I came home on that day. I came home. I told you that many, many days I wouldn't sleep. I rolled this way and that way. But I want to tell you this. On the day the Lord came to my heart, I had the peace, the real peace, only Jesus Christ can give. And I slept like a little child on that day. So this was, then my priorities changed. I had a real goal in life because I want to live for Jesus Christ. I was not doing very good at that time in the school, but from that time, when Jesus came to my heart, I had a purpose. I had something to look forward to. So I started to study good, you know. And I graduated. Probably some people thought that I will never make it through high school. But praise God, I made it through high school with somewhat good grades, you know. Better grades. And then I went to a teacher's training program, became a public school teacher. I taught the school system for 8 years. But here, I thought that I'm not doing enough for God, you know. We are Christians, and then all around us, people worshipped snakes, cows, monkeys, some gods with many hands and many heads. Some very angry gods with the bleeding tongues. Very near to our house, there is a snake temple where they worship snakes in that temple. You know, you can see snakes crawling around and they give them milk and some spices, you know. Milk and spices. Some people worshipped their own dead father and mother. That is called ancestral worship. They will take on the day of the death anniversary, and some other times they will take some food and leave in on that tomb, thinking that their dead father or mother ate that food. But actually, the birds came and ate it. The birds, not them. So I felt I felt that I am not doing enough. So I had the same experience while praying. I want to tell you, as I say ahead, I had a voice too. Because it's mostly Hindu, Muslim communities. We live not too far from the ocean. So a lot of people there. No Christians at all in those areas. No Christians. All Hindus. All Muslims. All idol worshipping people. So this was a challenge. So one day, I had this call. Whom shall I send? Who will go for me? I said, Lord, I will go. I resigned my job. I bought a lot of tracts and gospel portions. And I had a bicycle on which I traveled many miles a day, calling door to door, telling people about Jesus Christ. And some people said, we already have many gods here. We don't want another God with all in the list, you know. But some people said, we want to know more about Jesus. So we went back and conducted Bible classes and conducted prayer meetings. And we prayed for sick people in those houses. And we had this experience in one village, you know. When we went near the house, in front of the house, it's a tiny hut made of coconut leaves. Very tiny hut. A lady was sitting in front on the floor. She was shivering like this when she saw us, you know, we saw her shivering. I mean, that is Parkinson's disease, not?
Yeah.
So we asked her, would you like us to pray for you? And she said, yes, I would like to be prayed for. So we prayed. And every week, we made it a point to go and visit her. And week after week, we saw her Parkinson's disease, getting less and less and less.
Wow.
And eventually she was completely healed.
Wow.
That woman.
Thank you, Lord.
And after healing, you know, she had another baby. Because of that miracle, they are Christians and they are going on with the Lord, you know.
Mm.
I told you that I resigned my job and then I had a problem. Until that time, there was a salary coming every months from school. But when I resigned the job, there was no money coming. There was no one to give money. So I had a hard time. Sometimes my bicycle blow up a tire and I don't have the money to replace a tire. I would feel very thirsty, hot sun, traveling many miles in the hot sun. I feel very thirsty. I wanted to drink a cup of tea. There was no money to make a cup of tea. So many days, I have my wife and three children, you know, Joyce, Jonesy, and another Jane. Many days, I come home and there's nothing much to eat. We had less food. And sometimes we didn't know where our next meal come from. However, because of this witnessing, many people came to know the Lord. Some, even nominal Christians, accepted Jesus as their savior, Catholics and that sort of nominal Christians. Mm-hmm. And people who have been drunkards, they left their drinking habit. And people, government employees who have been taking bribes from people, they gave up that. And we are very happy we had a fellowship started like that. That fellowship started 44 years ago, still going on.
Wow.
On Sundays. Praise God.
Wow.
Praise God.
Amen.
I had a hard time, I tell you that. I didn't know how to go for it. The devil started to give me a hard time. Well, you resigned your job and you now say that Jesus Christ is the only savior of the world. How are you going to live? How would you send your children to school? One thing happened at that time. A man from England, I taught English in school. So a man from England came to our capital city to preach a crusade. And I was invited as the translator for the sermon, preaching. That was, he's a good Bible teacher, excellent Bible teacher. I don't know where you heard his name. His name was Harry Greenwood from England. He was a former British Navy chaplain. Then the Lord called him for full-time Christian ministry and he came to preach. He was a man with healing ministry. So many people got healed. And we got good friends because of being together for a few days. And when he was leaving, he told me, there is a conference going to be held in England. That's a town called Paignton. It will be good for you to come and attend the conference. I forgot all about it. But after a couple months, an envelope came by air mail to me. When I opened that envelope, there was an air ticket to fly from our nearest airport, which is called Cochin, to fly to Bombay, Bombay to London, London to Bombay and back. There was only that ticket, not even a letter in that envelope.
Wow.
No writing at all, only the envelope, the ticket. The conference date was getting very near. I didn't have the money to get to the airport.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to leave some money with my wife, Elsie, to buy groceries. But I didn't have that money. I didn't know what to do, but I went to someone. And just a long time ago, you know. I went to someone and borrowed from him $50. When I got that $50, I told him that as soon as I get to England, I will send your money back. But here, that was a good conference. Over 1,000 people. I never saw such a moving of the power of the Holy Spirit People, I never saw that, you know, people singing and dancing and great joy. Mm. That such joyful worship I have never seen. There I heard the preacher said, God is our Father, we are His children, so we have every right for our needs to be met.
Yeah.
That was a new thinking, you know, new thought. Until that time, I thought that poverty is a symbol of holiness. Mm-hmm. After all, Jesus Christ didn't have a place to lay His head. And He didn't have a place of a change of clothing. So we have to be pure, you know. Mm-hmm. Poverty is a symbol of holiness. It's not so. We have a great Father.
Yeah.
We have a great God.
Amen.
And we are His children. So we have every right for our needs to be met,
yes.
Not griefs.
Yeah.
Our needs to be met.
Amen.
When the conference was over, I went to the missionary's house do we have enough time?
Yeah.
I went to the missionary's house to stay, and I spoke in the church when perhaps they are the ones who sent me the etiquette, you know, there. Mm-hmm. After the preaching, they said, good preaching. Good preaching, no money. They didn't give me any money. I came home and the devil started to haunt me. You said you got that $50 telling that as soon as you get to England, you will send that money back. Where are you going to get money? Mm. Nobody is going to give you money. So at that time, good advice I had, God is our Father. We are His children. So we have every right for our needs to be met.
Amen. Come on.
I took a piece of paper. And on that paper I wrote, herewith I send your $50 back. I didn't have any money. I said, herewith I send your $50 back. I took an envelope and wrote his address and walked with that envelope to the post office. When I went to the post office, there was people standing in line for service, but I didn't have any reason to go into this line because I didn't have the money. I didn't have even the money to put the postage on that envelope. I came out of that post office. There was a busy sidewalk there. I walked through that sidewalk with my envelope. Then something told me in my heart, believe that the Lord is going to give you these $50. So maybe it's not much money now. It was a great money for me at that time. You know.
Yeah.
I was desperate. I raised my envelope like this. Said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that $50. Thank you for that $50. I walked up and down. I don't know what people think, you know. Because a lot of people walking up, and they probably thought like, I have something, my envelope like this, you know. Something wrong here. But I didn't care. They don't know me anyway. So it doesn't matter. Long time passed and nothing happened. But that was good exercise for me on that. I walked a lot up and down with this envelope. When I came back home, Mrs. Greenwood told me that we are invited to a home for refreshments. We went, and when we were leaving, Grace, an elderly lady of that house, Grace, her name, Grace Aldridge, she told me there is an envelope on the table. When you go out, would you take that envelope with you? I saw my name, Papi Daniel, written on that envelope. I wanted to open and see what it is right there. But I was kind of embarrassed. So I put my envelope in my pocket and came home and opened the envelope. It was exactly $50.
Very good.
Not one more or one less. Exactly $50. Then I thought that I should have asked the Lord for $100. what I asked was what I got. But anyway, I went to the post office again with this envelope. And I mean, this is, you know, something which changed my life, you know. I again went with that envelope to the post office. When I didn't have the money to put the postage, you know. I cannot send the money in the envelope as it is. It can be stolen or lost in mail. I cannot send it like this. So I wanted to buy postal order and the stamps. Anyway, I walked again to the post office. Post office was not too far from the home where the missionary lived, you know. So when I was nearing the post office, an elderly lady came across. She had many grocery bags in her hand. It was hard for her to walk, you know. Many grocery bags. When she saw me, she said, "Son, would you help me with these bags to the car?" So I took some of her bags and walked with her to the car and put the groceries bags in the back seat. When I was leaving, she put a £5 currency, you know, British pounds. £5 currency in my pocket. That lady put in my pocket. How I jumped up and down. I went to the post office, bought the post order, bought the stamps. I still had some change in my pocket.
Yeah.
Praise God. God is a great God.
Yeah.
He doesn't forget his children, you know. He is a great God. This was a great experience for me that changed my life. Because God is able. You know, you saw that Pastor Matthew and many others have been coming for over 8 years now to have a youth ministry. You have seen, we had nothing at one time. We had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
From that nothingness, the Lord has raised us up.
Mm-hmm.
That
powerful
thought. God is our Father.
Yes.
We are his children, so we have every right for our needs to be met. From that, you know, I want you to learn. I came home. I was again on that bicycle, old bicycle, traveling many, many miles every day in the hot sun, calling young people or encouraging them. I was tired, very, very, very tired one day when I came home. I said, "Lord, I cannot go on like this. I'm weary, I'm tired. So I cannot go on this bicycle all the time. So I want a car." A car is very, very expensive at that time. Here, I don't have the money to replace a bicycle tire.
Yeah.
And I'm asking for a car which is very expensive at that time, you know. But anyway, I believed that the Lord is going to do a miracle. And I want to tell you this. One day, God did a miracle. And we got a car exactly the color and shape, color and make that we had in mind.
Wow.
At times, you know, many times, people ask me, "How would you send your children to school?" I want to tell you, my oldest girl, Joyce, some of you know her, Joyce, she has a civil engineering diploma. Oh. And the other girl, Jonsi has a master's degree in social work and a master of philosophy in counseling.
Wow.
Our youngest girl, she was in college It is at that time we arranged her marriage, so she went only up to college graduation. But I want to tell you, people ask me, how would you send your children to school? All of them had good education, you know. And all of them are, we have a dowry system in our country, you know, that the girls' parents give some money to the boys' parents. How do you pay the dowry for your children, you know? I said, the Lord will look, see through that, so I cannot say how. But I want to tell you, all my three girls are married to born again Christian boys who are engineers in profession.
Come on.
God is no doctor to anyone. He's a great God.
Yes.
He's a powerful God.
Yes.
No matter how bad and dark the circumstances may look, your great God is a mighty God.
Yes.
A powerful God. And He is able to see us through.
Yes.
I want to tell you another experience, you know. You finish at 12, is that right?
Sure.
You're good.
Okay. Let me see. Oh, we have 20 minutes.
Yeah, good.
You're doing good.
Maybe
doing good, Poppy.
Speak 10 more minutes,
yes,
and then you
yes,
can
yes.
close up.
Feel free.
When we started door-to-door witnessing, many Hindus happened to come to know the Lord. So therefore, some Hindus, fanatical Hindus, they were against our ministry because their people are coming to know the Lord and leave their religion, you know. They were kind of mad at us. Sometimes I get very letters with very bad language, you know. We publish tracts and books, so people, some of the people, sometimes they write me bad letters, you know, threatening that we will set your church on fire and so forth, you know, because one of their boys or girls come to know the Lord, you know. These people, these Hindu people, were jealous at us. They were angry with us, and they wanted to do away with the work. So they made some plots. At that time, there came a project, an energy project about 4 miles from our home, from our mission. This was an energy project to be financed by Soviet Union. Now it's Russia. But when it was Soviet Union, they promised financial backing for this energy project, and it was going to produce electricity from coal. That's thermal power project. So one day, the officials came and told us that we are going to take your property for this project, energy project. We didn't know what to do. It was after hard work and a lot of trusting in God that we were able to build this mission house where we worship and do other works. We didn't know. It is the government of India is taking over the land for a public purpose, so we cannot say anything. So we didn't know what to do. It was hard to get another, even if they take over and they will give compensation only very little, not much to replace the mission property and the building. They wouldn't give enough. But we prayed and we kept praying on. Once we declared a fast for 3 days and nights, we all there, our congregation, and our children that we raise, all on our knees for 3 days, no food, only drinks. We prayed and cried to the Lord, Lord, spare us. We cannot lose this property and this building. So we cried to God. You know what happened? One day, there was a newspaper report that Soviet Union collapsed. Some of you will remember Gorbachev and what happened at that time. The Soviet Union collapsed. You know why Soviet Union collapsed? Because he prayed at Chepar. Well, that project didn't work out. Because they had, the Soviet Union had no money to give at that time. They were lining up in front of the bakeries for food, you know, for bread and so forth. They had a hard time. Now it's a different thing, but it was at that time. But, you know, we cried to God. Even our orphan children cried to the Lord. And the Lord heard our prayers. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you, our God is a great God.
Amen.
He will never let you down.
Yes.
If you have called, if He has called you for a purpose, He will make it possible.
Yeah.
He will help you.
Yeah.
I told you many days, we didn't know where our next meal come from. Now, from that poverty situation, every single meal a day, 100 to 150 people eat a meal, four meals a day there.
Wow.
What a great God.
Yeah.
What a great God, powerful God.
That's right.
I want to challenge you to reach out and lengthen your cords and strengthen your cords. Stand firm for God and reach out.
Yes. Amen.
Then God is, I have no time to say everything. I want to tell you, after I stepped into the ministry, I'm not exaggerating, thousands and thousands of people have come to know the Lord.
Amen.
I have seen 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, orphan girls and boys rising up as good, young, beautiful young ladies, you know. They came with their head all scabies on their bodies, but grew up as beautiful young men. Some of them nurses, school teachers, army people, working in Gulf, engineers, and so forth. And all of them are the soldiers of the cross now.
Amen.
Would you go into the video that they can see? Time wise, already?
Yeah.
5-1. Okay. We want your prayers, you know, because God can create something from nothing.
Yeah.
And the Lord can use you.
Yeah.
That man came from Australia. Would you? The other one, to begin with. This letter. The other video.
He's got to switch over to it, the way the system works.
Oh, okay. Or you can, that's okay. These are pictures only, not running. Yeah. Okay. We have a new ministry feeding the hungry children, street children in Calcutta. Calcutta is now called. Mother Teresa had their ministry right nearby, but we have started a feeding program for hungry street children around the railway stations in Calcutta. That's the picture.